You're listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasseau. Today we will be speaking with Sheriff Joseph McDonough of the Plymouth County, Massachusetts Sheriff's Office. Joseph McDonough was elected the 29th Sheriff of Plymouth County in November 2000. During his tenure, he has reorganized the Sheriff's Department and has begun a number of initiatives, including establishing the Victim Services Unit to help victims of violent crime deal with their offenders during incarceration and afterward, and the Juvenile Diversion Program to help kids in trouble change their behavior before they become involved in the juvenile justice system. Prior to being elected sheriff, McDonough spent 27 years as a firefighter in Scituate, Massachusetts, and left the department as a lieutenant. He also spent 10 years as a practicing attorney, and he is the first public safety professional to hold the office of Plymouth County Sheriff in more than 80 years. Sheriff McDonough holds a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from the University of Massachusetts at Boston and a law degree from the New England School of Law. Sheriff McDonough was elected to the seat on the Plymouth County Commission in 1996, and he completed that four-year term in January 2001. He remains a member of the Plymouth County Retirement Board and sits on the board of the Plymouth County Correctional Facility Corporation. Today, he will be discussing the benefits of providing correctional education in a jail setting. We're very happy to have him, and welcome to today's live talk, Sheriff McDonough.
Thank you.
Well, like I said, we're very happy to have you. First, I'd like to talk about maybe your views on correctional education and transition, reentry programs for offenders. What are your thoughts on these programs? How essential are these programs for jail inmates?
Well, I think it's very essential, especially for county inmates. We operate a rather unique jail here in that we provide space for federal U.S. Marshal pretrial inmates and Immigration and Customs Enforcement detainees, as well as about 350 DOC inmates and our own county inmates. Programs that we talk about, basically for the gentlemen that are here as DOC or county inmates, they're programs that we offer so that they can change the way their life was going before they got here. Obviously, it wasn't too good or they wouldn't be here.
Sure.
Our biggest example is our GED program. And ironically, coincidentally, we have a graduation next week.
Oh, great.
When I first took over, I was really amazed at the program, and we had real long waiting lists. We still have a waiting list, but we've been able to get it down to a manageable level. And we graduate probably a class every 6 months now. My biggest fear was when the MCAS came in as part of the GED test, that we would never have another graduate out of here. Just the opposite happened, where the pass rate on the outside is about 66%. We had a 91% pass rate after the incorporation of the MCAS into the GED.
Oh, that's great. Now, the MCAS, just for folks who aren't from Massachusetts, is the sort of standardized test that all students need to take to graduate. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
In the Commonwealth.
It seems like there's a lot of states that are having those kind of tests now, too.
Yeah, I believe that it's probably the majority of states now are moving in that direction.
Now, do you think that most county inmates are interested in having educational and transitional programming? And the reason I ask this is that when you typically talk about correctional education, you're thinking of, like, prisons, folks who are going to be there for a long time, and maybe county inmates aren't necessarily going to stay a very long time with you. So I'm just wondering, it sounds like they're motivated.
They are motivated. They're motivated in the sense that, there's an obvious motivation is that they get some good time off their sentence for completing our programs. But I think the GED, I keep going back to that one, but I think it's the most critical one, because the average education level when somebody comes in here is about the seventh grade. And they go out of here feeling that they've accomplished something by getting this GED. So I believe that particular course, they really do want it because there's a test at the end and there's a measurable calculation as to their success rate in that particular program.
Now, is there, in addition to getting, just sort of an add-on to that question, but in addition to getting a GED, are they able to Are there transitional programs too to help them kind of get into the community in a sort of a meaningful way?
We have a reintegration program, which is basically for inmates that are within 3 to 6 months of getting out. We house them in a separate unit, and they have to take certain courses in that particular unit. And then we work with them as they're going back into the community to try and find them housing. Housing is one of the biggest issues for inmates going back, county inmates in particular, going back into the community, because especially if they go back to where they came from originally, they usually end up back here in a short period of time. So we try and get them some housing and some work, job training while they're here, mm-hmm. and then transition them into a program in the community. We work very closely with the city of Brockton as our biggest municipality.
Oh, I see. Now, how long has this kind of transitional programming been available?
Well, the programs have been offered for many years, but it's only in the past 2 or 3 years that a coordinated focus has been brought to them, such as when an inmate comes in now, we're looking from the very beginning how the issues that brought him here, whether it be alcohol, substance abuse, and try and get him help for that while he is here, mm-hmm. and then work in getting him some work when he leaves here, because the two biggest things are housing and job opportunities. If they don't have one, if they don't have both of those, the likelihood of repeating the criminal behavior that brought them here is very great.
Right. Can I just ask you just sort of another question about related to this programming? But did it take any shuffling of staff at all to reach these offenders when they come in and try and figure out what their issues are? And
yes, it did. And like most places in this country, we faced a fiscal crisis over the last couple of years that really impacted us here. And it's the staff that is here that really made it work. The staff reorganized themselves. Most of the people who are working here wear at least two hats. They may be a caseworker, but they also work in classification.
Mm-hmm.
Correction officers have really lent a hand in working in the units, the program units.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for the staff really wanting this to work, it could never work. We probably have the finest staff in corrections in this country.
Oh. Now, if you're just joining us, so we're talking to Plymouth County, Massachusetts Sheriff Joseph McDonough about correctional education in jails. I want to bring you back, if I could, a little bit to reentry programming in county corrections. Do you think that if this is an idea or program focus that other county corrections agencies have bought into, is it something that might still need a little bit more development? And maybe could you talk a little bit, you said, your staff wear a couple of different hats, maybe talk a little bit about the logistics of getting this kind of thing going.
Well, it's definitely a work in progress. In the Commonwealth, we just had the Department of Corrections was the governor appointed a panel to review the operations of the DOC, and they just came out with a report. I think they had 18 points in particular. And reentry and reintegration into the community was probably the biggest focus that they had in that. And I think it's I think it's where corrections is going, not only on the county level, but on the state level also.
Okay. And do you, when you go to, just wondering, when you go to meetings with other county corrections folks in or sheriffs, do you get a sense that other folks are doing what you're doing?
Absolutely. Particularly in the Commonwealth here, I believe all the sheriffs are on the same page as far as the reentry program. Some of them are a little ahead of others, mm-hmm. but I think it's a concept that all 14 sheriffs in the Commonwealth greatly support.
You were just mentioning, too, like how tight it is, budget-wise, and I think that's probably the case, like you said, everywhere. There is some funding out there, federal government funding, and I'm wondering if that might help move things along as well.
Yes, a lot of our programs are funded by grants and don't come out of the budget because we really don't have any extra money in the budget,
right.
That's for sure. Majority of our programs are funded through grants, either state grants or federal grants, or some private grants also.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had mentioned a little bit earlier about working closely with the community, and I was hoping you could talk a little bit about, what are those community agencies that the Sheriff's Department works with to provide some programming for inmates and transition-wise, and how important is it to develop a relationship with the folks in the community.
It's absolutely essential if this reentry into the community is going to be a successful program. As I said earlier, we're in a transitional program with the City of Brockton, where a number of public safety and social service agencies work with former inmates and help them get established in the community. Mm-hmm. I think we have an obligation because these people going back, they're going to be our neighbors. They'll be your neighbor or my neighbor. And if we don't give them something while they're here and help them transition out of here into something that's successful in the community, they're going to be committing crimes against us and be back in jail.
That's right. Do you have a sense of how recidivism has been affected at all by these kinds of transition programs? Is that something that you've been able to look at? Or
not to the to this point, truly. I hear people talk about recidivism rates, and it's really hard to get a handle on it, especially here in the Commonwealth, because we don't have a central depository for that type of information. Right now, if somebody were to leave Plymouth here and go out to the western part of the state and commit a crime, I wouldn't necessarily know that he repeated his criminal behavior.
Oh, I see.
All it would show is that he didn't come back here.
Right.
So, but we're working at making that better. We're working in a new partnership with parole, which will enable us to work together both during the inmate's incarceration and after the release. Parole's been very able partner in this program, something that we've had relationship with parole, but nothing like we have now.
That sounds like it really will help offenders kind of get back on the
Absolutely.
Feet.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, that concludes today's live interview. Thank you to Sheriff Joseph McDonough for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming, and also thank you to the audience for tuning in. To learn more about correctional education, be sure to read this month's articles on corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.